cause public inconvenience. Well, let's say, and I think this happens with some frequency too these days, when these activists send out reports to the media, you know, we're going to have a demonstration, and we're going to have this, that, or the other thing, and then for one reason or another, they call it off, and all you got there are a bunch of TV cameras and so on. While this is a distressing kind of a phenomenon, I'm not sure we'd want to call it a crime.
Well,
that wouldn't be a public inconvenience, would it, if it were limited to the media?
The television cameras run there when they're not there because they want to make sure they show up when they want them, right? So they're not going to...
Well, you know, so far the text of the Model Penal Code covers all of our objections. It doesn't use the word emergency. It does include knowingly. It does use initiates or circulates, but that apparently is... has been okayed by use.
Well,
of course, it's limited to bombing or other crime or catastrophe.
Crime or catastrophe, and what?
I kind of like the idea of including fire and explosion.
Well, the Michigan one is a little more detailed. They have impending occurrence of a fire, explosion, crime, catastrophe, or emergency. Now, that's the word that you didn't like. Under circumstances in which it is likely to cause evacuation of a building, place of assembly, or transportation facility, or to cause public inconvenience or alarm.
I just felt that to cause public inconvenience or alarm includes evacuation of the building, etc. I suppose one common example of this is that the bomb scares the schools.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly they'd be covered under any of these drafts, under this one or the Michigan or Model Penal Code. Or they, as I recall, during the Chicago thing, they had a lot of rumors about they were going to put LSD in the reservoir and all that kind of thing. I suppose that'd be covered here too, wouldn't it? It's what you intended to cover.
Inconvenience, public inconvenience, or
sure,
alarm.
Well, that would be a good argument for leaving the word emergency in there.
Mm-hmm.
If a person circulated with knowledge that it was false, mm-hmm. a lot of these incidents are just circumstances of passing on rumors to people. And of course, if we were going to try and reach that kind of conduct, we'd have to use the word recklessly.
Well, what's wrong with the Model Penal Code approach?
I don't like the word baseless. Let's see what that adds.
All right, take out or baseless. What else don't you like?
I kind of think maybe that... Well, really what you've done here is take the Michigan thing with some...
Just left out some of the words that you felt were just repetitious.
Mm-hmm.
Now we didn't really use New York and Connecticut because their sections include conduct that we have under the perjury argument.
Mm-hmm. I like their gratuitously reports. If they get paid, it's all right. But if they volunteer, they're in trouble.
Oddly enough, we had quite a bit of discussion over the use of that word.
We sure did, yeah.
As I recall, they didn't like it.
Well, let's do something.
Well, what do you think of the Michigan language on page 59?
Well, Dave, what is your problem with the way we've got it?
Just the knowingly part.
Yeah.
And these others do the same thing, it appears to me, in much the same wordage, but...
Can't you change it so as to take care of Dave's problem?
Yes.
Well, that's a good objection. I think it's well taken.
Intentionally circulates a report knowing it to be false.
Intentionally initiates or circulates a report knowing it to be false.
Or baseless.
No.
Not all baseless. All right, well, I would move that we adopt Section 11, subject to redrafting to indicate that the initiation and circulation, that the material initiated and circulated must be known to be false. Start writing that down.
I've got it here.
Any further discussion? All in favor of adopting the section as changes suggested, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Carried.
No, I'm not.
Hooray.
Hey, we're all through. We can go to the narcotics now.
You want, would you like to take about a 5-minute break before you start?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Take a short break. I gotta go.
He's all behind.
Roger.
Well, he can see going just 6%, but not. Oh. You're starting on a small base. The ones you've got.
Well, we'll start with a little preamble of the present status of the law and what we've done here. Criminal law in Oregon in the area of narcotics and dangerous drugs, now represented by ORS chapters 474 and 475. Now those chapters are not strictly criminal statutes. They also contain all the, or at least most of the regulatory statutes on narcotics and dangerous drugs in Oregon. Now the legislative assembly in 1969 passed a number of bills amending ORS chapter 474 and 475, and in their hearing pretty thoroughly wrestled with the problem of criminal penalties and the substantive law in this area. So what we've done here on page 2 is suggest 4 different ways that this commission could approach this area.
There may be others. This is all we can think of.
One is to revise all the existing criminal laws applicable to narcotics and dangerous drugs and incorporate it directly into our new revised criminal code. And then those regulatory provisions would still remain in ORS chapter 474 and 475. Now we have in effect done that. And that's the 12 sections that follow. Another alternative would be to take ORS chapter 474 and 475 and put it directly into the criminal code. Of course, that would involve bringing in all these regulatory provisions also into the criminal code, where I'm not too certain they properly belong. Another alternative would be to revise ORS chapter 474 and 475 and at least revise the penalty provisions and the substantive crimes in those areas, so they would be more in form and substance as the revised, as it will be the revised criminal code. I don't know what great advantage you'd have there, really. You might have a problem of your criminal sections in those two chapters then, but looking somewhat different than the regulatory chapter. And the other alternatives do nothing. Just leave it as it is now.
Of course, your third alternative, you'd also have problems, would you not, with the absence of your culpability and justification and the various quasi-substantive sections, or however you want to call them, to import them over.
But of course, it would seem that in any event, even if we didn't incorporate any of these provisions into the criminal code, we're still going to have to look at the penalty structures when we look at the penalty provisions in the criminal code.
We presently have no drug crimes in the 160 series of chapters.
No,
they're all in 474 and 475.
Being a person of great personal courage, we could possibly just kind of not treat the problem.
Yeah, and of course, that's sub four. Yeah, we.
Oh, you said it nicer than I did. No, I didn't need to do nothing.
We said do nothing.
All right. Did you hear from me?
You know, I might mention here.
My reason for saying that wasn't just facetious. First of all, it did receive a great deal of attention in the last session.
Right.
Second of all, it's going to receive a great deal of attention from the federal government, apparently. Nixon has a program proposed. I don't know if it's a bill form yet.
Yeah, it is. I've got some stuff here on that.
Oh,
too.
Good. Thirdly, it's going to be a constantly changing area, I think. And we haven't had a chance to see yet whether the last legislature's changes have been any good. Comments I've heard have been fairly good from judges on the sentencing part. They like the leeway.
Yeah.
Prosecutors are, I've been told, are happy about not having an automatic felony for a possession, particularly in the marijuana.
Yeah, it means you can go ahead and prosecute it. That's what it is.
Yeah, you don't have to cry so much anymore.
A misdemeanor penalty rather than reducing it to frequenting or using or something.
One thing, interestingly enough, that is still unsure is when the thing actually becomes effective. I mean, not the crimes to which it actually applies. I had one this morning, for example, a kid that was AWOL from the Army, and when they caught him, he had a whole pocket full of marijuana. This was on July 1, before the act became effective. We've sort of taken the position, I don't know whether it's valid or not, that if the sentencing occurs afterwards, you can still go either way, even though the offense occurred prior to the August 22nd or whatever day it was. But I don't know that that's the case.
I don't think that'd be right technically, because you're governed by the laws that existed at the time of the crime, but I don't think there's anybody going to complain about it.
Well, the time it'll arise is when, say, the guy later on gets caught with a gun or something like that, and then you want to bring a ex-con in possession or whatever it might be, or habitual or a job situation or something like that.
Well, in regards to what Dave mentioned, it was our feeling, pretty much along those lines, that we weren't going to suggest that we monkey munch with what the legislature has already done. And so we're not proposing any big departures or radical changes from what the law is, but we did feel, number one, that the criminal laws relating to narcotics and dangerous drugs should be brought over and incorporated into our criminal code, and leaving your regulatory statutes where they are, 474 and 475, intact, except for the criminal sections that are in there, and pulling them over and putting them into our code. Now, the second alternative that Roger mentioned, this was the approach that Illinois took. They just lifted their health code and put it over in their criminal code. It's kind of an incongruity, because you'll be going along in their criminal code and all of a sudden you hear narcotics and dangerous drugs and it reads completely differently than the rest of their criminal code. But they did bring it over and incorporate it. And then, of course, the do-nothing sub four is the model penal code approach, because the model penal code doesn't deal with narcotics at all. They just have a caveat in there and say, we're going to leave this up to the states. Narcotics and another area that they don't deal with in the model penal code is gambling. They felt that...
Well, under your second proposal, would required structural changes mean to put the existing law into the language of the criminal code? You mean that by structure rather than just structuring as far as section?
Yeah, right.
Just so that it would... It wouldn't stick out like a sore thumb.
I frankly don't think that's the best approach. The chapter 474 and 475 are poorly structured and poorly organized. It's difficult reading, primarily because it's been legislated piecemeal over the years since about 1935.
It really is. They're hard chapters to work with. And God, I know that anybody that's prosecuted cases in this area know that, boy, it's murder, and defending them too. I'm sure you have the same problem trying to find out what the hell the law is and where it is.
One good thing about it from both standpoints is that with the uniform narcotic code, that there are cases, lots and lots and lots of cases in other states. Now, they've adopted them somewhat differently in some respects, but some of the problems, like narcotic content,
there are a number of cases on that, whether the marijuana plant, the cannabis sativa, has to have actually a narcotic content, which it doesn't as an immature plant. And there are cases which says it doesn't make a difference, which is helpful because that's a problem that would otherwise be plaguing our Supreme Court.
Well, but if you, it seems to me that if we go the route proposed here, there's really very, very little that we're doing with it. I mean, we're not making any substantial change of any sort that I can see.
No, we're not suggesting that the penalties be changed.
The penalties or difference in basic treatment or anything like that. Maybe I misread it, but it doesn't appear to me that anybody would get very excited
about changing it.
Yeah. Now, about really, Dave would know better than that because he's been through it.
Oh, Lord, we sat through, in House Judiciary alone, two sessions, I recall, in room 6, with the big groups there, and everybody in the world is down, got their own ideas. And we had a number of sessions just by ourselves with a few witnesses. And what finally happened was a compilation, as I recall, at least 4 bills that were bits and pieces taken one from another. It wasn't done lightly, unlike some of the things done by the Judiciary Committee. This one received a lot of thought and attention.
Well, we don't
have the time to do that now.
Well, but you were making some pretty basic changes in the penalty structure.
And well, yeah, there were.
You were really working in the guts of the area, whether it stir up a lot of emotions and so on. And really, this doesn't do it.
We just retained what you did the last session, really, in that regard.
But looking through it, you've got weights and measures, and
we've made some changes.
And we spent an awful lot of time on that, and we heard from prosecutors and vice officers and people who defend, and they all have very definite practical problems with quantity and also with sale versus possession. And they said, just leave it alone. Give the court leeway for sentencing and don't try to pigeonhole all these things.
The two states, Michigan and particularly New York, that did revise their narcotics law and incorporated in their criminal code even went further than we did in that area. For example, New York has 3 degrees, for example, criminal sale and criminal possession, breaking it down in amounts. Where their third degree would be, say, any sale or possession, second degree, an increased amount, and then first degree, another increased amount.
I can see the logic of what the last legislative session done would not fit into what we're doing now because there is no particular gradation or degrees of crime. It's going to look a little out of place. But boy, I hate to change that all over again. It's 2 years after it's been done.
Well, of course, that's the last thing we want to do is really stir up everything all over again this early in this area. And maybe we've done too much here.
Well, of course, that's really no problem because looking at the criminal sale of drugs and criminal possession by deleting sections 3 and 5, in other words, only having 1 degree, you would have the same as you have now. In other words, the only statute on the criminal sale of drugs would be section 2, and it wouldn't distinguish on amounts.
Well, couldn't we do this? Couldn't we go through it and then really it's going to have to be the full commission. It is a pretty basic policy decision.
Beyond amounts, there's one other place we try to distinguish the degree of culpability, and that is sales to minors. We felt there are good reasons for treating that more severely from the standpoint of the pusher than other sales known. And so we had slugged that in as a first degree offense, sell a narcotic or dangerous drug to a person under 21. And
well, but you have still the situation, I'm sure Jim runs this on sentencing, where you have a man who has been in 4 or 5 times for sales, and they catch him with small amounts, but it's pretty systematic and continuous. He's been selling over a period of time. That man's dangerous and should be hit. If what you get him for is criminal possession of drugs in the second degree, what kind of a penalty do you have to put on him?
Actually, though, one thing you find is that they're very, very few sale cases that are made, and interestingly enough, this batch they just turned loose the other day, they arrested about a dozen guys for sale. And two of those 12 I just finished trying, one of whom has a long narcotics history, but they've never caught him for sale. In this case I tried him on, or actually the jury tried him, we had a search and seizure question, was a possession case. And then after he was convicted, he was arrested on his most recent indictment charge of sale. And then the second case I had was a straight out sale case. And the jury found him guilty, was open and shut kind of deal. And but by and large, sale cases are awfully hard to make. I don't have any figures, but I'm sure that of the narcotics indictments, I'd say well over 70% are possession cases.
I'd go even more than that. I'd say probably 90 to 95% of them are possession.
I'll tell you, we had a rash of sale cases. They had two count them, sale and possession, when they were running up around the Cherick's house and the coffee houses. And then that kind of thing has kind of died out now. I don't know why, but they haven't had too many of those recently. So that but there was that one rash of them, and then this bunch the other day, and apparently they got some undercover man that was a real whiz, and he really went through town making the buys. And of course, typically they'll two count them, and then they'll cop them out to count two, possession, and dismiss count one. So even where they've got a sale charge, very frequently it'll end up as a possession conviction. And of course, the only way you really know is by the pre-sentence report and this kind of thing.
Well, we heard also from the smaller departments, which don't have the manpower to put out for 2 or 3 days to make the buys so they can make a sale case.
Yeah.
And they indicate they just, the bodies they have available, they can't spare the time. So they pick them up on the possession.
And in smaller communities, the only way you can use an undercover man is to get somebody from outside of town, because everybody knows all the police officers. Whereas in the larger cities, they can do it at least for a while. Like this guy, by the time he gets through testifying through all those trials, he's going to be fairly well burned, and he's not going to be able to wander around.
Well, these are a lot of the things we went through on the overhaul we did last session, and it's just endless. You can go forever. That's why I kind of hate to see us getting too far away from what was done.
Well, do you think with the number of you people who sat through all these hearings before, do you think there'd be any necessity that we have public hearings on this, or could we go through and do it ourselves without?
Oh, I don't think the necessity for... I don't think we have the time, first of all, for public hearings in this field, because that'll take the rest of the time we have. If Don Clark comes in also with his... sickness for alcoholism. That's going to wipe out the rest of commission time. But you're also going to run across the same problem we had, that there is no real uniformity of approach. And it was pretty tough finally hammering out something in the committee working only on one or two statutes. I could see this thing being opened up again when we're trying to adopt the criminal code, and again,
well, assuming we aren't making any real substantive change, it seems to me that it's really just a policy question of whether we feel that since the main deterrence in the area is now the criminal law, whether it belongs in a criminal code or it doesn't.
Yeah, but Roger, but you are making very substantive changes. Even your organization is substantive, at least I think in this area, when you're talking about quantity, sale, possession, and degrees. If you pick up the areas, yeah, you've done them right there.
We've done that in criminal sale and possession, but of course in going through this, we don't necessarily have to retain that. if you feel, for example, that there is a problem in using amounts into trying to apply this law.
Well, I think there is.
One thing that I don't understand is how did you come up with the 1/2 ounce or more of a narcotic drug and then put 50 or more cigarettes containing marijuana?
This is based on the New York and the Michigan.
So you're figuring that those 50 or more cigarettes are cut with just a little marijuana in them? Because certainly 50 or more cigarettes are going to be more than 1/2 ounce.
It's an arbitrary figure. Obviously, you can have 50 fat cigarettes that weighed a great deal compared to 50 slender ones that, you know.
Or you could have five ounces of hash that would be equal to a pound of
marijuana.
Yeah. If we're going to do something, I'd like to see us do is just replace the criminal part of 474 and 475 into the criminal section. And if it reads a little bit strangely, you know, you run from one chapter into another and all of a sudden it starts, the words are different. I don't see any great problem with that.
Well, actually, if we did that, and the only rephrasing used was a person commits a crime, for example, and named the crime, it probably wouldn't look too out of place.
But you even got Nixon who recognized Dorgan's fine approach to the problem.
If we even do that, though, I mean, it's going to, of course, going to have to go through the legislature with the adoption of the code, and if
I would
changes that feel that people feel should be made, they'd be making their pitch there to where.
That's what he's complaining about. He doesn't want to have to go through that again.
Well, even if we didn't make any changes right now, but I feel that it should be in the criminal code, not in the narcotics code, the health code.
I think
this
you're
is
right.
Where it logically belongs.
Again, just from a strictly political and practical matter, however, I'm sure there'll be a great number of drug bills introduced again next session. And I assume, again, they'll all be assigned to one committee, and probably that same committee is going to be working with this thing. From that standpoint, it might be better off just to leave it as it is now, leave it in 474 and 475. So at least you don't get it completely mixed up with it. But you don't stop the adoption of the whole criminal code by reason of problems created in the drug section.
I would say that as far as the adoption of the criminal code, we're going to have more problems with some other sections than the drug section.
Not from a time standpoint, I bet you. Just from... And you, whenever you try to adopt something big like this, the insurance code in 67, last time the
probate
code, it comes down to an act of faith, and you get too many things that can stir the water, and we've got a few now.
It's going to be more the sex type of thing rather than that.
The more handles you give somebody to be able to say, I understand one section, which is drugs, I don't like it, therefore I'm going to vote no. You give them a handle to be, no, I can't say irresponsible, honestly, but... It's close to what I mean.
Well, of course, I don't think we can put together a code that's going to please everybody, you know.
Well, no, but at the same time, we should go out of our way to create problems, and I think this drug section is going to create one.
Well, I think, like it or not, we're going to have to assume that the legislators are reasonable men. And,
well, isn't this really, though, Dave? Why don't we do this? Why don't we go through it anyway, and with the understanding that it's going to be a policy question for this commission, and I suspect that you'll get a lot of support on the commission, because I suspect that the consideration you mentioned is would be a lot weightier with the legislators and the non-legislators, and I don't say that in a nasty way at all, because we haven't been through it and we haven't had all the headaches of that kind of thing. But
the other thing you get run into is I don't think you'll find any of the legislators on the commission who have any great pride of authorship in those drug bills. I mean, it was a fairly workmanship-like job, but nobody was terribly involved personally. There are a number of other legislators, most of whom are not lawyers, who are very high
have to make a pun on this subject. And I think the problem's going to come from them more than just from the committees.
Well, I certainly gave serious thought to not even proposing anything at all to the commission.
Well, let me suggest this. Maybe it doesn't make sense for the subcommittee to spend a lot of time pruning the details in the absence of a policy determination.
The
commission can make a policy determination on that. And if they say, okay, we'll go along with Frost and leave it out, that's fine. And we won't have spent a lot of time spinning our wheels pruning this. I've got a number of questions on it because I've got a whole bunch of places marked here that are little detailed things. But if the full commission agrees with Dave, why? I don't think there's any point at all in our spending a lot of time on it.
And we could get a determination next Friday on this too. I think it's a fairly simple policy question to state, and it wouldn't hold up our work particularly.
What do we have? Would we be able to work that in next Friday?
Yeah, I would think so. Sure.
I would think 45 minutes or would do it, wouldn't it? Half hour
shouldn't think it would take that long.
Well, yeah, they don't need to make the decision whether they want us to.
Seemed to me they did just say, what do you want to do? 1, 2, 3, or 4? And those are pretty clear alternatives.
Could we limit it to just one? The subcommittee go into the problem, or just that we're not going to do anything, leave it 4-7-4, or would that oversimplify it?
Well, you could do it in two parts. First of all, is it the sense of the commission that we substantially adopt the present drug laws, criminal drug laws? And if so, then the second question is, do we put them into the 160 series, the criminal code, or do we leave them where they are? Now, that's basically the two questions we're asking, isn't it? Or do we want to ask them if they want a complete revision?
Well, I don't know how you can make a policy decision as to whether you want to do anything in this area unless we discuss some of the issues involved. I mean, some of the issues as to whether or not the commission feels that we should try to distinguish between an individual who sells narcotics to a minor from one who doesn't. You know, these kind of questions, I think that you just about have to talk about, don't you?
It seems to me if one of the alternatives is going to be a revision, they're going to say, well, what kind of revision? I mean, what are we talking about? I mean, are you making structural changes or any substantive changes?
If next week, I mean, I'd like to say, I mean, Don, if we get into what kind of a revision stuff, we're going to have to look through what's here or what and consider what could be done. But so I think that as far as the full commission, it seems to me like all we need from them now is simply before we waste a lot of time going through these things, is simply do they want to just leave the drugs in 4-7-4-7-4-7-5, or do they want us to do something with it, whether we just take it the way it is now and reword it or what? I mean, that would be all that the commission would really have to decide, and then we could go through our regular process. I mean,
we could put all the rest of this in the commentary.
But even in that event, I think it would be fruitful to at least briefly, quickly go through this so you can give them some idea of what a revision represents.
I don't know if you need to even go that far or not, but I would think maybe this introductory material that we have here might be, say, on our first two pages. So that everybody on the commission, you know, the lawyers are going to know what's in there, but there may be other members on the commission who really don't know what our drug laws are right now.
Well, it seems to me, though, that if we present these four alternatives on page 2, the commission still would be able to make a decent policy decision. I agree, they'd have to be acquainted with the introductory material so that the non-lawyers would.
Well, they could send out copies of this first three pages to the entire commission with an agenda change.
Well, and the other thing, it seems to me, that while in one sense of the word we say We say in number one, no substantive change would be made in the statement of the crimes. But we ought to amend that somewhat, because in light of what Davis said here today, it is substantive in the sense that they put in a heck of a lot of time on it, and the minute you start saying, well, amounts make a difference and sale to minor makes a difference, that's really a, that's more than just a...
Yeah, you could say we are proposing the creation of two enhanced crimes.
Degrees and degrees based upon amounts and sale to minors and so on.
But a number of these sections really are just really verbatim from 474 and 475.
Yeah.
We really haven't.
When you get back into the encouraging addiction or whatever it was.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And the prima facie evidence provisions, things like that. Obtaining a drug unlawfully. We've called it something else to make it conform to our format, is all.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the rest of it's the same as it is already.
Well, is it the consensus then that we should present to the commission pages 1, 2, and 3 and get their viewpoint on it and let them tell us what they want us to do.
I
really don't think it makes any difference. For example, that for us to go through and like on page 8 you've got subterfuge and I've got a question there. What does this mean? Well, why in the devil
spend any time this afternoon
worrying about what subterfuge means when
that's the reason that word's in there, and that isn't a word we've used, it's in the code now. That's why it's there.
Yeah. But whether it's been there in the past or not, if we were revising it, I'd want to know why it was there, and maybe even think about taking it out. But this type of thing, the little nitpicking things, I don't see any point in doing that today.
Well, what I can do is I'll check with the chairman with respect to our next commission meeting next week.
That's an all-day meeting, isn't it?
Yeah, but we've got a heavy agenda, and of course, as far as this goes, we could do the same things you're suggesting, and without doing it at the very next meeting. I mean, if Senator Uteri doesn't want to put it in for the next time, we could have it come up, say, in December.
Are we presently is subcommittee work what we have to do to become current? Is the full commission quite current?
No, it isn't.
There's quite a few subcommittee drafts waiting consideration.
Yeah, right. As a matter of fact, we have more work for the commission right now than we do for the subcommittees, really.
I was wondering about that next commission meeting of having it maybe Thursday afternoon or early Friday. I know subcommittee number 1 is meeting Thursday afternoon. Well, I'm sure it's too late for that.
Yeah.
Well...
What do you have for the agenda
for the commission?
Yeah.
We have perjury, related offenses, parties to crime, and justification. Now, they're all fairly lengthy articles, and it was a rather ambitious agenda to start with. But I'd rather have too much on the agenda than not enough.
Yeah.
Then subcommittee 1 will meet on Thursday. It's on a meeting. And then we have another meeting scheduled for 14th. We have a full day meeting of subcommittee number 2 on the 14th. Really, this subcommittee is in good shape as far as being current on your work.
Maybe adjourn before Clark gets.